This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
James Finlay, Andrew the Apprentice with you for Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self on Joy 94.9.
That is correct. And Midsummer is well and truly here now. And two men who are currently doing something for Midsummer are joining us in the studio. Jake, who is a writer-director, and also Daniel, who's an actor, are both involved with Sexy Dead Schoolboys.
Mm. Welcome, guys.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Hey there.
Interesting title.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit of a selling point, isn't it?
Somebody already pulled us up. Is can schoolboys be sexy?
Well, that's kind of the question we ask with the play. Yeah, because it sort of delves into that whole notion of the fetishization of sort of youth and when a person can become a sexually, I don't know, like aware person and a sexually... Yeah. I don't know,
an appropriate
participatory
object.
Person. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And when does a person become okay to gore cat?
It is really interesting, actually, because we never see sexy schoolboys around, but sexy schoolgirls are everywhere.
Yeah.
Like the True. Not actual sexy schoolgirls.
No. I mean,
it's like a whole Gwen Stefani film clip. That's completely fine.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like you can sell like the little schoolgirl outfits in a sex store, no worries. Yeah. And like you're... wife or whatever can dress up as a sexy schoolgirl. No one puts a question mark on it.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Exactly.
Yep.
Is that where you're going with this?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, because male sexuality is such an interesting thing, and young male sexuality as well, and especially when it comes to sort of the gay gaze, which is not a term that comes comfortably out of the mouth. and especially in sort of the gay culture and sort of the hypersexuality that can sort of come across as like, growing up as a gay person and working out how to be a sexual being within that environment is quite interesting.
And so, particularly now, because I mean, it's such a different thing for like when we would have been growing up, mm-hmm. like being a young gay schoolboy would be such a different thing because the world is different. You're not having to deal with as many, you know, the same level of prejudices and problems and the same fears that, you know, we would have when we were growing up.
So is the play done in a contemporary setting, or is it clear if it's contemporary or is
it's rather contemporary. Yeah. It's kind of like the play itself sort of shifts around in time because the premise of it is kind of the schoolboys die at the start and then we venture into sort of what would have happened.
No spoilers.
No, that's I didn't just like I'm Shyamalan the entire premise like Bruce Willis is a ghost. Yeah, no. So they die within like the first scene and then it's kind of and that sort of gives us license creatively to explore the depths of sort of the darkness and the happiness and the joy without feeling like, and it sort of lets the audience not feel like this has actually happened to these fictional people. Mm. It's only hypothetical, so they're completely fine. Mm-hmm. And it sort of removes that stigma of you can't look at these schoolboys in a certain way or
that's a good way around it.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
This genius guy put it
so
together.
So clever. Yeah. And is this one of your first plays or?
Yeah, well, I've been writing for a long time and this is, I've got another play, Softly Padding While Walking Into Breeze, that's on at La Mama at the moment.
La Mama,
so I wrote that, so that's happening. And so this is sort of my second sort of main stage. Let's call it a main stage production. The first one you could Google and get a result
from. La Mama's pretty main.
Yeah, that's main enough.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they wouldn't be like to be called not main. They're the mainest. Yeah.
They're pretty main.
Hashtag main. They're really main. So, yeah.
And so does that mean you're part of the Monash Society?
Student theatre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent a few years there because I also did a Bachelor of Performing Arts at Monash and then got involved with the theatre there as well. So, sort of like... out of there now and sort of like trying to flounder around in the world until, people tell me to leave. So, look out.
And Daniel, are you a Monash theatre boy as well?
Yes. Same school? Same school, same course. Went through Monash as well, which is where I met Jake. So Jake and Lindsay, who also wrote the play with Jake.
Yes.
We're all Monash alumni.
And so how long have you been doing acting for yourself?
It's actually funny. I haven't acted in about 5 years. I'm actually a theatre director.
Ah.
So I
were at the end of Jake's list.
Pretty much. We're desperate. Daniel, what do you
have to go to the directors now?
Yeah, in January. I'd kind of been thinking of going back to it. Because, you know, I think it's useful you know, because Jake's also a fantastic actor as well, it's useful to be able to cross those paths to see what it's like on both sides, you know, sitting there and watching the actors and then being on stage. But when they told me the premise, I just went, this sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Interesting.
And you get to play dress-ups.
Exactly. Yeah. I get to be the schoolboy I didn't get to be. It's like...
Yeah, right.
So what do you have to do to prepare yourself to be a schoolboy?
Jerk off a lot?
Well, look. That's not official, but probably. I think just not care. Like, I think that just kind of get to the point where you just don't care about anything. That kind of, like, abandon of remembering that, you know, a schoolboy doesn't have to deal with bills or doesn't have to deal with his rent or doesn't have to deal with, you know, particularly intense relationships. It basically is your friendship group and that's about it. The character that I play, Elvis, is kind of the jock of the group. So on top of the fact that comfortable with his friendship group, he's also very comfortable with his body and is happy to kind of show it off in a kind of arrogant way.
Okay, so we can look forward to that then.
Yes,
there's a lot of that in the show.
A lot of shirtless action.
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't mean to groan at that.
Yes. Oh.
Jake's happy.
Now I'm going to ask, because last week we were chatting to a couple of guys and they were gay for pay, I guess. Is that something that you have to do as well, or are you gay already?
Did you come that way?
Like, am I already gay?
Is the play is your character gay?
Yes, okay. all of the boys are gay, and the really nice thing that Jake does in the play is there's not the drama of the coming out story in it. They're kind of pre-prepared. They've already gone through that process, and what they're ready for is basically to go out and be men. They're basically these five boys, like, are really, like, in terms of their intelligence, their maturity, their emotional maturity, they're very much, you know, young boys, but on the verge of becoming, and the desire to become men and start to interact with the world as what they perceive as being the way gay men should. So you have the idealist, you know, the romantic, and you have the recluse, and you have the one that's terrified of everything, and the one that hates everything, and the one that's basically just ready to go. So they're kind of... Yeah, they're kind of... All the problems of them having to deal with their sexuality and accept it have already happened, and so they're kind of on the next big stage, which is, what do I do about it?
Yeah,
I'm out in the world now. What do I do?
Is that kind of Jake, something that you thought about when writing about it? Like, kids, schoolboys these days, were probably in a different space than what they were, you know, maybe five, 10 years ago.
Oh, completely, yeah. Being that we are, like, post-Glee being relevant and post-Annual being cancelled. And it's kind of like, if people want to read a good coming-out story, they can do that. It's like, go and read Holding the Man and cry for 3 days. It's like, there's a lot of text out there that already deals with those sorts of emotions. And so we're kind of in this stage where, like, people are coming out, like, towards the ends of primary schooling, and people are coming out, and they're just in these environments where they don't feel the pressure to conform to the heterosexual way of being.
Mm.
And that's so wonderful. And I know there are obviously still lots of problems with that kind of thing, but we're at a stage where we can discuss the more developed issues that exist in this place of more acceptance, where it's like, there are all these templates that you can match now and decide what sort of gay person you want to be, or to just shirk all of it and be your own sort of, like, cut out version of everything. And that's kind of the issues that we delve into with this. And it's just forming the relationships that you need to with the people and the issues and things that are always going to be around us. And yeah, because the sorts of problems that come up in the play aren't, and in life and stuff, it's like, they're not gay problems, they're people problems.
And
that's what makes it interesting, I think. And the closer we can get to that is the equality that we're all striving for, is everyone has the same problems, we just have sex with different people.
The sexuality is kind of almost incidental in the play. It's not a major part of it. It's just a factor.
And Jake, for you, as you're writing, did you go into it knowing your end point, or did it change as you wrote it?
Bits of it changed, certainly, yeah. I think I just went into it wanting to write a bunch of roles for actors to play and explore the thrill of getting to play a young gay man and see where that goes. And then talking to Lindsay, who wrote it with me, it's just kind of, we talked about the things that we'd want these characters to go through and the things that we'd want to say during those experiences, and just talk about what's shaped us as people and as sexual people, and the experiences, especially even talking to the cast after the play's already started being rehearsed, talking about experiences we went through in high school as far as our sexualities and that kind of thing. We've uncovered some really, really interesting anecdotes out of the guys, and it's nice that the stuff that happens in the play really resonates with even the people just in the rehearsal room. So it's really exciting to get an audience in front of it and see what they have to say about it.
Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you write those down.
Yeah,
for future.
That's it for a sequel or a TV series. Yeah.
Great. Well, looking forward to seeing the play, actually. You've got another play, which is at La Mama as well.
It is, yes. Softly Pouting While Walking Into Breezes.
Actually, so what's that about, briefly?
That is about... It's about a breakup. It's a boy named Ben who plays... He's played by all eight members of the ensemble. And so he's got to get this fragmented, kaleidoscopic image of who this person is as he deals with a breakup for the expanse of maybe about 3 years and just sort of talks about the struggle of intimacy and the agony of sort of meeting people and trying to love and trying to love again and how much a young romance shapes and destroys you.
Mm. And yeah. A lot of people play Ben, right?
They do, yeah. It's like eight really talented guys.
We had, I think, your director and one of the people who plays Ben in on Tuesday Breakfast the other day.
Oh, goodness, yes.
That's why I know it. Yeah, no.
It's a fantastic show, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Really, I went on opening night. It's really good. I laughed. I cried. Everything.
So that's at La Mama, but Sexy Dead Schoolboys is on at the Second Story Studios at 159 Sackville Street, Collingwood.
Sackville.
There we
that's
go.
That's a real place.
Boom, yeah. Great place for schoolboys.
Yeah. Kicks off on the 2nd of February, Monday through Friday at 7:30 p.m. Go to midsummer.org.au for all the details. Jake and Daniel, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No, thanks for having us.
All the best for the show.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here. James Finlay is with me as well.
Right here.
It is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
And it's time to go bush.
Go bush.
It's just not the first time we've done that this month, let's
no,
be honest.
No, we're going bush quite a bit lately.
Why not? Steve's joined us in the studio. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How are you? Now, we've got you in a bit because a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of naked men sitting here in the studio with us because Nude Man Fest is on this coming weekend.
Oh, will you be going?
I won't be making it, but I have some handy tips for all the people who are going.
Well, that's right. Why we've got you in, because you just spent Christmas, New Year, essentially up in Lismore.
Yes.
Tropical Fruits.
Yes.
How was that? I've not been to Tropical Fruits before.
Incredible. Recommended to everyone. I mean, learning curve, breaking away from, you know, my Collingwood bubble up to the bush. It was interesting, adapting all of the... You know, the skills I learned in the city up to the bush, but it was good.
I'm sure a lot of them are transferable, unless you want to catch a tram.
Somewhat, yes. Grindr was actually busier in Lismore than it's ever been in Collingwood.
I'd say during Tropical Fruits, it's probably the busiest time.
It exploded.
Yeah.
I didn't bother.
That these apps are even jacked.
So, just on Tropical Fruits briefly, because for the virgins amongst us who haven't been, tell us a little bit about what happens up there.
Well, Tropical Fruits, it goes, the camping sort of festival runs for about a week to about 9 days.
A week? Really?
Yeah, so you can turn up on Boxing Day and then everyone's kicked out about the 3rd of January.
Right.
So it's even longer. But the main part where, you know, the thousands of people turn up is the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day parties.
Yep. Okay.
And those get pretty wild. Pretty wild indeed.
Now, we're going to get on the camping part. I understand you're at the showgrounds.
Yes.
So, I'm taking it's, you know, one big toilet block. Everyone uses that.
Well, there were two toilet blocks. Beat toilet block and then the ones that you actually use the toilets and showers.
Right.
So yes. One just for sex.
Yes. Well, you could attempt a shower, you won't.
You might get a golden shower.
You might get a golden shower, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us, there's, you know, if you're using the shower block, you don't necessarily want to hook your travel pouch douche kit up onto the public showers.
No, but I noticed they had hooks in the barns, which I'll come to, which were very handy.
Right.
But no, there are luckily private showers where you can do personal time or public time or whatever you want, really.
So what are your key tips for the people who are going camping about douching and other...
Absolutely. Well, there are sort of two things. How to douche and where to douche. These are two very important things to keep in mind when camping.
Right.
Well, you don't want to contaminate the water stream.
No, you don't. And exactly.
People drink from that.
Yes. And always, if you're doing it in the open, do it downhill from anywhere. So find a gully. Don't ever do it uphill of anything.
No, you don't want to. It's like pissing into a wind.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You don't want to be douching into a tent.
No.
No. So how to douche? You know what? I'll tell you what. Metamucil was just saved my life, especially with the amount of alcohol you consume. Assuming at that campsite, Metamucil.
So, good laxative.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't have to wipe for a week. It's just that. It's that amazing.
Yeah, okay, but you had the runs for a week.
No, well, no. It keeps the Metamucil, it's a fibre supplement, so it keeps everything just together
right,
and out, and just, it's great.
There's a handy tip for anyone.
There's a handy tip.
You could use that in the city.
You definitely can. Next tip, water bottles. Now, when you're at King's Beach, which is the gay nudist beach, around the corner, south of Byron, you don't exactly have a nozzle or anything to take along.
Yeah.
So I always took my hydration water bottle and my douching water bottle.
Yeah. I have had to move to the water bottle before while I was traveling, yeah. Same problem that you have, you know, going from hostel to hostel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the water bottle tip, quite handy.
Definitely. So, and I'm a big proponent of the water bottle when douching. You know, it keeps it shallow, keeps it...
You're putting the right amount of water in.
Exactly. You don't want to be shoving a hose in there for 5 minutes.
No, you don't
want to overdo it. It's very delicate. Well, for some people, it's delicate.
Other people, it's
like the base of your foot. But
And that's a worry.
Yeah.
See a doctor.
So, just a water bottle. That's, yes.
Definitely. I went through a couple water bottles.
Well, yes, as you do.
But did you lose a couple?
And never confuse it with your hydration water bottle. Never, ever confuse it.
Get a red one and a blue one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, whatever you're flagging.
Okay, great. Water bottles.
Yep. So then, where to douche?
Yes.
So, the showers, easy. Everyone's done that before. The toilet, less desirable, but you can do it. Bit of a squat, maybe. Bit of a, you know. But then, going proper bush. Now, there's a big barn on site with water nozzles.
Ah, yep.
Okay. And there's often like a 20-person line for the showers. And sometimes, you know, that guy on Grindr, you just can't wait. You have to get to him ASAP. You can't wait through that line. And God forbid, you have to bump in front of another queen in line who's trying to douche.
Oh, so you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do it. They get angry.
Yeah.
So the barn, it definitely works.
There was a barn.
There's a barn. And if you find a quiet little nook, you fill up your water bottle, kind of, you know.
Head off to the side,
yes. And, I mean, you know, there's cow shit everywhere, so...
No one's going to know.
No one's ever going to know.
It's wonderful.
But again, don't do it uphill of anyone, because there are tents all along the edge of the barn, and don't do it when people are sitting around, like, yeah.
You don't want people watching.
Be sensible.
Yep.
Be sensible.
So, and what about diet? Because diet, you know, you're camping, you're going to be eating crappy food.
You don't really have much of a choice of what you're eating.
No. Well, the great equalizer...
I guess one thing will be constant the whole time.
Yes,
alcohol. One thing you're eating.
Mm.
Dick.
Oh, yes. Dick. Yeah.
So much dick. Just endless. But,
James, you need to go to Tropical Fruits.
By the sounds.
It's ridiculous. I was limping for days. It was just...
It doesn't sound different to my new user, to be honest. Continue.
But the great equalizer is Metamucil. So it even despite all the alcohol or the crappy sausages you've been eating or the dick you've been eating, whatever, Metamucil is the great equalizer. So
okay. So keep on to a fiber vitamin.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Very good. Steve, stay with us. We're going to chat a little bit more about what you've been doing lately.
And perhaps some more tips.
I've got a couple more tips.
Okay, yeah, we've got more tips. Good. I've certainly got one that he hasn't covered yet.
Oh, okay.
Here with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9, 7 minutes to 10. And we have Stephen in the studio talking camping tips.
Yes, handy camping tips
when you're camping. Sexing.
Particularly if you're a bottom boy, these are some great tips. Now, we've ticked off Metamucil is a good way to keep things regular, along with a water bottle instead of your traditional shower douche.
Yep. Yeah, if you don't have access to the taps.
If you don't have access to the taps, yeah. Do you have any other key tips for us?
Well, I made the mistake of taking a 1.5-man tent. I was thinking, a little dome tent, that'll do me fine.
Yes.
And then I get there and like...
You want to have group.
Yeah, well... Yes. And I attempted. Oh, boy, I definitely attempted.
You attempted, three or four? How many?
I had three.
Okay.
I had three.
It would have been a bit steamy.
In 30-degree temperature and, you know, 100% humidity, it's not the most comfortable. And I made, actually during that, I spilled amyl in...
Oh, no.
Yes, and that lasts. Like, the humidity just keeps it going.
Have you found out yet whether amyl reacts negatively to the materials of a tent? Does it burn a hole?
I'm not sure. I burnt my tent when I got back.
Yeah.
So,
oh, okay.
Yes, I burnt all evidence.
it was that filthy, was it?
It was awful. Yeah.
So always upsize...
Upsized. When I got there, I was very jealous. Like, the Queens have been doing it for years. They have these massive, like, 15-man tents, you know, the entrance foyer, you know, the formal dining, the casual dining, the bedroom with a walk-in robe. It's ridiculous. So that's what I'm doing this time around.
Fair enough.
That tiny tents.
That sounds very sensible.
Definitely.
I guess it would be quite hard to... No, not that, I guess, discretion is one of the key features of being at this festival, I guess. But.
Correct.
No, and that's one of the fun things. There were two lovely ladies going at it. So within like a 30 by 30 meter area, there's about, you know, 100 tents. And so everyone can hear everything. Those things aren't soundproof.
No, they are not.
So every time someone orgasmed, everyone applauded. And it was hilarious. Nice. And people would come out and actually do a bow. It's quite a bonding experience, really. Like, that's the beauty of tropical fruits.
So the best thing about that is your neighbour two or three doors down may hear you have a fantastic orgasm and go, I want some of that.
Absolutely. Well, the degree of separation there is like... 0.0001. So everyone's kind of doing everyone. It's fine.
Now, Steve, we should mention, just moving on to a couple other things. We had the guys from the Company of Men in last week, and you went to the opening tonight.
Yes. I was at the Company of Men opening tonight, which is very good, seeing all the wonderful artworks and performance as well.
What performances did we have tonight?
Well, I was dragged into one.
Oh, really dragged?
I was kicking and screaming.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yes, clothes were taken off and I was dunking my head in a bucket of water for art.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
As opposed to what was happening at Tropical Fruits.
Yes. I was doing that by choice. That was
for art.
Yes, for art. There's a camera tonight, so it makes a difference.
Okay. Oh, yes. There were no cameras at Tropical Fruits. Surprise.
It might have been. Google my name later. We'll see what comes up.
So, Company Man, great exhibition. You, apart from dunking your head in water, did you have a chance to look around?
Yes, I did. Very good.
Very sexy.
Good. Very sexy. Mm-hmm. Some very fun ones. A lot of talent, definitely.
And also, last night, you've been very busy. You were on the panel as part of the VAC's hypothetical.
Yes. So, the Victorian AIDS Council ran the hypothetical for the first time since 2000, I think.
Right, yes.
Off the format that Jeffrey Robertson developed in the 1980s. And sort of the one that we're basing it on was the Does Dracula Have AIDS hypothetical in 1986, which, you know, changed public health policy overnight. So, we were sort of trying to replicate that. Big shoes to fill, but it went very well.
It did. I was along there, and it was a fantastic turnout and a great event.
Sold out.
How did you find being on the panel?
Daunting at first. I mean, being up there alongside big names like Judith Lucy, Human Rights Commissioner Tim Wilson, the heads of large organisations like ACON and Living Positive, and then just little old me.
Who are you?
Who am I? I have no idea. But it was good, and people say that it was refreshing to have sort of a community voice. I suppose that's why I was
there. That's what you're there for, yeah.
Sort of reflecting popular opinion and sort of modern opinion, and I didn't have the restraints of an organisation behind me.
You're a volunteer at VAC, I understand. Is that
yes,
right?
I do volunteer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So a bit of the community voice, you have to be pretty quick off your feet.
Definitely. So the format of the hypothetical is there are hypothetical situations and characters, as you know. You have to respond to direct questions relating to those situations, and so there are questions about lesbians and methamphetamine use. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I know nothing about this. Yeah. I know nothing about this. And luckily, I dodged that question. But then there were other good questions about, you know, PrEP and drug use and Grindr.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you found it okay. Look, the people on the panel, including yourself, were so good that it almost seemed like you knew what the questions were.
No, not at all. I mean, I suppose we were chosen to go on the panel because we know
your
stuff about it, you know, whatever we do. I'm not sure what Judith Lucy knows about, you know, slamming and bareback sex.
No, you never know.
You never know. But no, it went really well. And, you know, that comedic relief as well was really good.
Now, I also understand that VAC are going to be, did videotape last night, I believe. And so that will be up publicly in the near future, no doubt.
Yes, uploaded onto VAC's YouTube page at some stage in the future.
So make sure you check it out.
Yeah.
And Steve, one thing you did talk about last night was PrEP.
Yes.
And you took a fairly... I'm not going to say strong because it's sort of the common view now that the PrEP needs to be widely available as soon as possible.
Definitely. And there are a lot of people who sort of the thing is that I don't want to wait. And that's the point that I made, is that in Europe they haven't had to wait. And it's sort of an indictment on Australia at the moment, that we don't have PrEP. It's so widely available in the US and in Europe. We really need to sort of get the ball rolling on it. So we need to start that dialogue of people saying, look, we're going to get it. Let's rush it. Like, yep. Let's get it in. It's the same with marriage equality. You know, if we know we're going to get it, let's just do it now.
I don't think I've ever heard those two things be compared to each other.
But it does make sense.
Well, there you go.
Yes. Well, PrEP in a serodiscordant relationship, marriage would be very good. So
There we go. Mm-hmm. Steve, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Those tips thank again you. For if you are going camping at Nude Man Fest or other stuff. Yeah, Metamucil.
Metamucil, your bottle of water. Don't confuse it with your hydration bottle of water.
And the bottle with the push top. Is that to get the cap, to get the water going?
It doesn't matter. I've screwed mine off.
You know? Oh, okay.
I mean, some people would like the wider one. Some people want like a smaller, slimmer one. Depends what you like.
Also, I've got to throw in there.
Oh, yes.
Look out for the long grass. Because when you're bent over, when you're on all fours and there's long grass, you can cut yourself.
Mm. And brown snakes. Not the good variety, the bad variety. Look for the brown snakes.
Look out for those, I guess. But I guess if you're making enough vibration in the ground, they're going to go away.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was taught when I was growing up.
Animal fumes might also keep them away. So
I wouldn't take that as biblical.
Or the animal will get them horny and
no one sue me if someone gets bitten.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.